Today we're continuing with the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is, if I'm not mistaken, the last verse actually in the chapter number 7. And then we'll switch to, you know, I guess day three about this little seminar on sharing Krishna consciousness, why and how. And today we'll go over passages from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Chaitanya literatures, pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, on this topic of the importance, the glory of sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Yaya Gupta Sahasraksho Jigesura Chamur Vibhu Tam praha sa mahendraya Vishwarupa udaradhi. Yaya, by which Guptaha protected Sahasra Akshaha, the thousand-eyed demigod, Indra. We know why he got a thousand eyes. Hare Krishna. Jigye conquered Asura of the demons. Chamuhu, military power. Vibhu, becoming very powerful. Tam, that. Praha, spoke. Saha, he. Mahendraya, unto the King of Heaven. Mahendra. Vishwarupaha, Vishwarupa. Udharadi, very broad-minded. Thank you, Prabhu. Translation and purport there's no purport in this verse, just a translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vishwarupa, who was most liberal, spoke to King Indra, Sahasraksha, the secret hymn that protected Indra and conquered the military power of the demons. So please repeat, Vishwarupa. Okay. Who was most liberal. So you see, even in the Bhagavatam it says that it's okay to be liberal sometimes. Of course, strong on our values and principles, but liberal in terms of broad-mindedness, especially in the issue of trying to spread Krishna consciousness in, for example, Slovenia today in 2019. So, excuse me, I had to put that in there. So Vishwarupa, who was most liberal, spoke to King Indra, Sahasraksha, the secret hymn that protected Indra and conquered the military power of the demons. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the sixth canto, seventh chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Indra Offends His Spiritual Master Brihaspati. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Who among us has not felt the protection of the holy name of Narayan, the holy name of Krishna? This whole next chapter is about, or this verse is introducing the next chapter, which deals with this Narayan Kavacha, the shield of the Narayan Kavacha, which is nothing but sound, which is nothing but transcendental sound vibration, names of Narayan, names of Vishnu, or names of Krishna. So our culture of stressing so much the chanting of the holy name and the power of the holy name, and how the holy name is everything for us. The holy name is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. Has its, you know, numerous references all the way back here in the Bhagavatam. Perhaps the most favorite verse from the Bhagavatam on this issue of how the holy name is so important is this 12th canto verse, Kaler dosha nide rajan astye heko mahadguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. My dear king, Kaler dosha, this Kali Yuga, Kaler dosha nide rajan, it's an ocean of faults. Well, that should remind us, like, don't worry, you know, if you want to find faults, you have an ocean of faults to choose from. Kaler dosha nide rajan, raja, O king. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kaler dosha nide rajan, asti eko, but eko. Still, however, nonetheless, eko, there is one, just one, great, mahat guna, great quality. Kirtanad eva. If you just and only and certainly just do kirtan, kirtanad eva krishnasya, of Krishna. It's interesting because now we see more and more. In a way, it's a good sign. We don't want to criticize unnecessarily. We want to look at the bright side of things. You see more and more in yoga studios, in the yoga world, or these big, you know, sort of new age, kind of hippie, techno, you know, festivals, the trend of kirtan becoming more and more popular. In Southern California, we have this Bhakti Fest that's worth millions of dollars. It takes place outside Los Angeles every September. Now they have twice a year because it's so big, June and September. And there's all these yoga workshops and seminars. A lot of it has so much what we would call Mayavadi influence, and tons of kirtan, you know. But many times the kirtan is not Krishnasya. It's, you know, Shivasya or Kalisya or, I don't know, different demigods. And while we obviously, you know, we respect the gods and we see them as exalted souls serving Krishna, in, you know, with a lot more sincerity and dedication than many of us, we still understand that kirtan, or we believe that kirtan, is exclusively meant for the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Lord Krishna. So that's why Krishnasya, kirtanad eva Krishnasya mukta sangha, mukta, mukti. Sangha, you get free of material sangha, and param rajat, the supreme destination you reach. Even on a material platform, we see that this holy name of Krishna, the name of Krishna, offers even material protection, as in this story right here. The demigods are protected by the sound vibration of God, and therefore they can beat the demigods. And we hear of stories, contemporary stories, of devotees who were put in very distressful situations and were saved, we believe, by the name of Krishna. From just now, I was in Split or in Zagreb, I forget. In one of those two places, one devotee told me the story of how during the communist era, I think in Russia, you know, one devotee among many, right, was captured by the KGB, and such a hellish phase this communist era was. My God. Just, you know, intense atheism. Whew. Demoniac. Anyway, so he or she was being tortured and, oh, right. The government official had invited some sort of witch doctor. Now imagine, the government invites sort of a voodoo, whatever, black magic kind of person, and this devotee expressed that this, you know, there he was sitting or she was sitting in a chair, and this witch doctor was starting to, you know, whatever, call some spirits, and he was literally feeling, you know, starting to get invaded by this, like, whatever evil force of some, you know, bad spirits. But then after some time, this witch doctor, was a woman, turned to the general and said, "I'm leaving. I can't. It's impossible." And the doctor said, "Why? What's going on?" He said, "Because you don't see it, but I do. And when I'm, you know, trying to invoke whatever these evil spirits." Well, this time it was actually a story of Prabhupada. This radiant personality comes and protects this person. So here, I'm sorry, here's an example of you know, Prabhupada's protection. In terms of the holy name's protection, we have also many stories. Devotees singing Nishinga Dev, you know, at the last moment. And then the robbers or the thieves running away. I mean, we could spend hours and hours collecting stories of how the holy name protected us, protected devotees. In ancient times, as here, we don't know what yuga this is, all the way, you know, to 2019. So all glories to the holy name of Krishna. Now we can go on to this sharing bhakti. And today in day three of this little seminar we're going, as I said, we're going to look over at verses from the Chaitanya literatures about the topic of preaching. Or sharing. The word sharing may be a little bit more easily digestible than preaching. In an English context, the word preaching kind of sometimes brings up connotations of somewhat maybe fanatical Christians who use the word and who give it a bad name. So sharing may be a good word. So 2 days ago, we looked at two verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Key verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday we looked at key verses from the Bhagavatam, finishing with Prahlad Maharaj saying, you know, "I don't want to go to the Himalayas. I just want to stay in big cities. And because I have compassion for these," as Prabhupada translates, "fools and rascals who are wasting their human form of life, caring only for their families and their bodies and not understanding the goal of life. I am concerned with love for them." And so today we'll go over some really famous, like, best of passages from the Chaitanya literatures on this theme of sharing Krishna consciousness, the importance of sharing Krishna consciousness, the glories of sharing Krishna consciousness. Let's begin with this verse that many of us should know, all of us should know. This prediction that many of us, you know, all of us kind of live on. We believe, we have faith in this prediction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made 500 years approximately. This is actually in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, interestingly enough. And Prabhupada quotes it all the time, but Prabhupada didn't have time. He didn't translate Chaitanya Bhagavat. But it's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, not Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyone can volunteer the translation? Molim? In every town and village, the holy name, Moranam, like Mahaprabhu says, my name will be glorified. In every town and village of the world, the chanting of my holy name will be heard. And some commentators say that when, you know, before Prabhupada came to America, leaders in the Gaudiya Vaishnav community would read this verse and would say, "Oh, this is just a poetic exaggeration," you know, all over the world. It's nice, but it's a poetic exaggeration. But we see that it's not really a poetic exaggeration. I mean, it definitely went outside of India with Prabhupada's tsunami of bringing, you know, the holy name to New York and then San Francisco and Montreal and London and Amsterdam and, you know, Ljubljana and all over the world more and more. So this is an inspiring verse for us. You know, if you have doubts, if you're thinking, "God, you know, we're not really spreading very much," and which may be true. I mean, you know, we could be doing much better in Europe, and we shouldn't sit on our laurels. You know this expression, to sit on your laurels? Like Julius Caesar, he had a laurel, you know, crown. So to sit on your laurels, you know, is to feel satisfied that, yeah, we're doing great, everything's fantastic, you know. I think we could be doing much, 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 much better and greater in terms of expansion. But, if we therefore feel a little bit depressed or discouraged, we can take shelter in this verse that Lord Chaitanya predicted every town and village. Does it mean that it will happen automatically? Does it mean that we switch off our intelligence? No. Because that's a trap. Or it's the downside of depending on a prediction is to think that, okay, you know, we don't have to really sharpen our compass, or we don't really have to sharpen our, well, sorry to use a military analogy, but we don't have to sharpen our tools. We don't have to, like Prabhupada said, rack our brains about how to most efficiently spread Krishna consciousness, because it's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. So, if it's going to happen anyway, we don't have to, you know, really put much endeavor. But that's not the complete understanding. The complete understanding is that, okay, Lord Chaitanya predicted that, but how efficient can we be as instruments in Lord Chaitanya's hands? This next verse is a direct instruction from Lord Chaitanya to us. It's from the Madhya Lila 7128, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hanya tara desh. Desh means, you know, land. Like Prabhupada, we glorify him. Paschatya desh. Paschatya desh means the western desh, the western countries. Prabhupada is the savior of the western world. Of the whole world, but he himself wrote this pranam mantra to himself. And he says, you know, Paschatya desh, savior of the western world. So Mahaprabhu says, Yare deka, tare kaha, anyone you meet, instruct him or her about the teachings of Krishna. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Like upadeshamrita, the upadesh, the instruction of Krishna. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amar agyai, on my order. Do what? On my order? Yeah. On my order, spread Krishna consciousness. And he uses the word guru. On my word, on my order, become a guru, become a spiritual master, and liberate your land. Liberate your land. So Mahaprabhu is telling all of you guys, you know, become a guru and liberate Slovenia. I mean, we're laughing, but it's a serious task. So you may say, like, well, but, you know, me, guru, me, you know. But that's Maya. Because if you know even a little bit of Krishna, and someone doesn't know anything about Krishna, if you share that little bit of Krishna with that person, you're benefiting that person like anything. And technically, you're a guru. Guru doesn't only mean, you know, Diksha guru. We could spend a long time, you know, explaining the distinctions between the different types of spiritual master. But sometimes we have this idea of guru is someone like almost Superman or Superwoman. That we, it's just like in a different category, in a different dimension. Now, there are super exalted souls, and there are very, very beginning souls in Krishna consciousness. So that does exist. Like, if we compare ourselves, for example, to Prabhupada, the, you know, extreme example of exalted spiritual masters, who we believe was extremely exalted. I mean, how many spiritual leaders can say, I was with Krishna in the spiritual world, and Krishna told me personally, go down to the material world and preach. And I said, no, I don't want to go to that horrible place. But Krishna told me, no, just go, please, write your books, and I will take care of everything. And Prabhupada said this to Bhavananda Prabhu. So yeah, when we compare ourselves to great souls like Srila Prabhupada or very advanced devotees in the Hare Krishna movement in ISKCON, we may think, we may feel ourselves inadequate. But the point is, even if you have a little bit of Krishna consciousness to share, that will benefit someone. That will benefit someone. So in that, and as soon as you're helping someone in Krishna consciousness, you're a guru. So we don't have to wait, you know. We don't even have to wait to get initiated. As long as you're getting good shiksha and you're chanting the holy name, you're qualified to be a guru. And you're qualified to help others come closer to Krishna. And Mahaprabhu is ordering here. Instruct, you know, become a guru by my order. 2 days ago we were referring to a passage by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, wherein he brings up this point, this sort of almost contradiction, or there seems to be a contradiction. On the one side, you know, we feel very unqualified, and on the other side, you know, we go and tell people about Krishna, we give lectures about Krishna, we give books about Krishna to others, we invite people to our homes, give them prasadam, and so on. So one may say, how dare you? And Bhaktisiddhanta calls him, he says, people may say, look at this zoo animal sitting on the Vyasasan. How dare he receive honor from you know, blind followers? And then he says, he concludes, he says, yeah, I am fallen, but the order of the Lord is supreme. And he's referring to this verse right here. On my order, forget your disqualification. On my order, Mahaprabhu says, you know, spread Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Krishna. And you may say, well, you know, I'm not very empowered, I'm not very qualified. How many people can I help? The Christians give this really nice analogy. If you go on a beach at low tide, you'll see some sea shells, sea stars. How do you call them? Sea stars, right? And they're washed up on the sand, and they're dying because they belong in the water. And they don't have legs, they can't move back to the water. And there's thousands of them. If you come and pick up 5 or 6 of them and throw them back into the ocean, someone may say, why are you doing this? Do you see how many thousands of sea stars there are there? You know, what's 5 or 6 throwing them back in the ocean going to do? But if you put yourself in the shoes, I mean, seashells don't have shoes, but sea stars don't have shoes, but if you put yourself in the skin of that 1 or 5 or 6 sea star that is back into the water and being able to breathe again, that sea star doesn't give a darn, doesn't care a bit whether you helped 7 or 100 or 5,000 stars. For that one star, that one soul, you're everything for them, because you've given it life again. So, let us not wait for some, you know, magic moment now is the time to use our form of life in nicely chanting the holy name and somehow helping others to also chant the holy name. Let me give you a quick example also. A friend of mine in Los Angeles, a devotee initiated maybe 20 years ago, brilliant intellectual, brilliant preacher, got married maybe 5-6 years ago with this lady who was not from Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and she pretended that she was, you know, very encouraging, and then it turns out that after a few months, she was, you know, very much against his Krishna consciousness, and they fought like anything. They got divorced, and meanwhile they had two children, and now there's like this long litigation, you know, at the courts about who will have the custody of the children, lawyer fees. It's hell. And he's stopped his preaching for years already, 2 or 3 years. And each time I say, so what are you waiting for? He says, yeah, but you know, with my ex-wife, it's so hell, and you know, the lawyer this and the lawyer that. And when I was in Brussels a month ago, I just felt inspired. I sent him a WhatsApp message. And I told him, I said, listen, like Prabhupada said, you know, you're trying to find a calm sea, but there is no calm sea. It doesn't exist in the material world. The only sure thing in your life is that you're going to die. And before you die, there's going to be more problems, and you're going to die. That's what you can be sure of. So don't wait for, you know, your so-called problems to disappear, because they're not going to disappear. Or if that problem disappears, another problem is going to come. Welcome to the material world. And then he wrote back, he said, you're right. You're right. I'm not going to wait till this court case finishes. I'm going to, you know, get back into preaching. So now, let me read to you how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness. Yes? This is from the Madhya Lila. It's about 5 or 6 sentences. Whoever heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant Hari Hari, please say Hari Hari, Hari Hari, also chanted Hari Hari. In this way, they all followed the Lord, very eager to see him. After some time, the Lord would embrace these people and bid them to return home, after having invested them with spiritual potency. Really important. Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tar Pravartana. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, you cannot spread Krishna consciousness unless you're empowered by Krishna, unless you have Krishna Shakti. Right? The book distributors in the 1970s hired some professional Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, in those days it was pre-internet, so there was this Encyclopedia Britannica people who were expert at selling these huge sets of encyclopedias to people. So they had these great techniques. And so the devotees hired these Encyclopedia Britannica, true story, they hired these Encyclopedia Britannica salesmen, and they said, okay, here, these are A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's books, try to sell them. And with all their techniques, they couldn't sell one. Why? Because they weren't devotees of Krishna. And if you're not a devotee of Krishna, you're not empowered by Krishna, no empowerment of Krishna, no spreading of Krishna consciousness. So Mahaprabhu embraced them and said, okay, enough, stop following me, go back to your villages. That reminds me, when we were doing metro yoga in Paris, I told you a few days ago, we would go into the metro subway and 3 of us or 4 of us and chant the holy name in the metro subway and jokingly tell the people, hello, this is free. We are the metro yoga team at your service. Paris is a very busy city and it's already 7 p.m. and you have not done your yoga exercises yet, but do not worry. The metro yoga team is here at your service. You can just listen to these mantras and you get the benefit of all the yoga. You can do it here 20 meters underground in the metro. Very avant-garde form of yoga, metro yoga. And then we chant, people would laugh. And then before leaving, you know, as the train was coming to a stop, we would stop the kirtan and we'd say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We are going now. We are leaving. Please do not follow us. Stay where you are. You know, and they would laugh. But here Mahaprabhu was like people were really following him in the thousands, right? All attractive Supreme Lord. So after a while, he would say, okay, go home. Go home, and then he would embrace. Imagine being embraced by God. Imagine being embraced by the cause of all causes. Inconceivable. He would empower them. They would return to their own villages, always chanting Hare Krishna, and sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, sometimes dancing. These empowered people used to then request everyone and anyone, whoever they saw, to chant the holy name of Krishna. In this way, all the villagers would also become devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by seeing such empowered individuals. People from different villages would become like them by the mercy of their glance. The glance of Vaishnavas. In the 1970s and 80s, devotees were distributing books at the airports in America. This lasted until 9/11, until Bakhtar bin Laden forced the airports of America to be more security, and we couldn't distribute books there anymore. Not good, Bakhtar bin Laden. But devotees in Chicago were so enthusiastic, especially when they saw military personnel, like young soldiers. Because, you know, these young soldiers were just come out of boot camp where they were, you know, accepting orders. And so as soon as a devotee, I had also experienced, like when there was a soldier, you know, in his green apparel, you would you'd think, okay, this is going to be easy. So, excuse me, soldier. Yes, sir. You know, are you a soldier? Yes. You know, what's your rank? E4. You know, where are you stationed? Camp Lagoon. What's your service? I'm an artillery, sir. Well, here, take one of these. This takes place on a battlefield. Show them Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna. So, yes, sir. And they would take Bhagavad Gita very easily. So imagine in the 70s and 80s when devotees were so fired up, you know, maybe sometimes too fired up, you know, all these military people would just get bombarded with books. So the word got back to the lieutenant or the sergeants of the military, you know, that all our soldiers, when they pass through the Chicago airport, they get, you know, accosted by the Hare Krishnas who take their money and give him a book. So true story, when the military, at one point, it got to a point where when there were these, you know, military airplanes that were landing into Chicago, you know, full of new soldiers, the sergeant would get on the, you know, PA system of the airplane and say, okay, listen up, boys. You're going to be landing at Chicago O'Hare Airport. And when you pass through the security and the consort, and, you know, and the hall, there's going to be some Hare Krishnas who are going to try to sell you their books. Whatever you do, do not look at them in their eyes. True story. So we have the scriptural reference to this right here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That just by their glance, people would become enlivened with Krishna consciousness. And it didn't stop there. Then these individuals, when they returned to their villages, they also converted others into devotees. And when others came to see them, they were also converted. In this way, as those men went from one village to the other, all people of South India became devotees. So that's the technique. That's the technique. And we have 15 minutes. There's just so many nice verses to read from. Here's an interesting verse, Madhya Lila 26. It's similar to this verse about one who is not compassionate cannot go to the Vaikuntha planets. Please repeat after me. If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you want to help yourself in spiritual life? Help others. 인자해. You know, if you want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to approach Lord Nityananda. And if you want the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach Jagai and Madai. And, you know, that's us, right? We come from the Jagai and Madai club. But somehow we have a little mercy and we're taking advantage of it. Here's this next verse, and maybe we'll stop at this one before, and also we'll speak about Vasudev Dat a little bit. This next verse talks about Lord Chaitanya's emotion in regards to sharing Krishna consciousness. The emotion of God regarding spreading Krishna consciousness. In the Antyalila, Lord Chaitanya has a discussion with Haridas Thakur. And he tells him, he asks Haridas Thakur, how will these yavanas be delivered? Interesting note. He's talking about yavanas, right? So that means there were yavanas in India. In Mahabharata, Vidura secretly tells the Pandavas in a mlecha language that only they understood that the Kauravas want to burn, you know, the house of Lakh and murder them. Because sometimes devotees have this wrong understanding. I claim it's wrong that, you know, mlechas, yavanas, the so-called, you know, untouchables only exist in the West. It's kind of a common thing. You know, we easily demonize the West and idealize India. But here, in Mahabharata, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's all these references, you know, Hunendra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, you know, this verse in the Bhagavatam about, you know, all the fallen races can be delivered by chanting the holy name. Many of these tribes are in India, geographically, even today, in the, you know, nation state of India. So, you know, the mlecha, the fallen, the low class and the high class, the Aryans and non-Aryans is not such a clear cut, you know, geographical, you know, all in India and all bad is outside of India. We have the references right here. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just repeating Shastra, making a little observation. So Mahaprabhu says to Haridas, how will these yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way. And what does Haridas Thakur reply? What does Haridas Thakur tell Lord Chaitanya in response? He says, my dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the yavanas in material existence. Like, don't worry. Don't worry, boss. We'll take care of it. And in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada himself says that this is service to the Lord. That the devotee tells the Lord, my dear, you know, he tries to alleviate the anxiety that the Lord has in regards to suffering souls. And Prabhupada says, this is service. So, you know, for our own spiritual salvation, for our own Krishna consciousness, we want to help alleviate the anxiety of Lord Chaitanya. Don't worry, boss. We've got it covered. It's going to be done. Like, you know, he says, I'm a gardener. I have so many fruits, but I only have two hands. How can I distribute all these fruits of love of God? And Haridas says, no, don't worry, my Lord. We'll take care of it. I mean, he doesn't say we'll take care of it, but that's the mood, right, of the devotees. So hopefully we can also start having a little bit of that feeling of anxiety, where we genuinely believe that this material world is a place of suffering, where we genuinely start to believe, actually, you know, we really believe that reincarnation is a fact, where we genuinely believe that, you know, unless one becomes God conscious, one is forced to reincarnate, to enter into another physical body and suffer you know, being stuck in the womb for 9 months and all the suffering that comes afterwards. And what to speak of genuinely believing that Krishna consciousness really is something that relieves suffering. And let's finish, this is a good segue, let's finish with the story of Vasudev Dat, who really believed this. You know, for those who know already about the story, who hasn't heard the story of Vasudev Dat? One? Okay, two. Vasudev Dat is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada interestingly says that Vasudev Dat was thousands of times more merciful than Jesus Christ. I hope not many Christians are listening online right now, and you know, with all due respect to the Western Savior, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Jesus, in this one purport, Prabhupada, and he gives a pretty good reason, I think, describes Vasudev Dat as being thousands of times more merciful than Jesus. Vasudev Dat, an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, approached the Lord and said this very famous prayer. He said to Lord Chaitanya, "My dear Lord, please, I want to take all the karma of every living entity in the universe so that they can be delivered." And Prabhupada mentions the point that, you know, Jesus said, yes, if you follow me, I'll free you of your sin. But he made that offer to people who followed him only, not to others who didn't follow him. That's what Prabhupada, you know, points out. Whereas Vasudev Dat, whether people followed Vasudev Dat or not, I mean, he was saying all living entities, so every worm, every butterfly, every fish, every insect, every microbe, all those souls who are in the material world having rejected Krishna, I want to take all their karma, accumulated karma, on my back. I imagine the prayer. And then the story goes that Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, just by you desiring this, the whole universe has been liberated. So these are, you know, we should take inspiration from the mood of these great devotees. That, okay, I have problems, I have unfulfilled material desires, you know, things haven't gone in my life the way I wanted them to go. Let me think of this a little bit less, and let me think of others a little bit more. And if we do that, if we can help others, think about others' spiritual welfare a little bit more than just our, you know, belly button, then, you know, we're helping, they'll become happier and we'll also become happier in the process. Right? So it's like a win-win situation. We have 5 more minutes. One or two questions maybe, and then we'll end.
Comments on that, I also want to ask a question. So once I hear from one Prabhupada's disciple that when Prabhupada was here in this material world, so some of his disciples met him suddenly, somehow saw him around, and then he said, he asked Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, can you please tell me, I would like to serve you, please can you tell me how can I serve you, what can I do for you, I would be very happy to do something for you." And then Prabhupada said, "Okay, please go, so I want to do this very, that you know, you do it in a way, like yes," he said, "okay, go in the place where I will not go." And then this disciple was like, "How do you mean? Like, you're almost everywhere, America, Europe, here and here. Where is that?" And then Prabhupada said, "To the future. And please treat the people in a way that everyone can know how Krishna loved them." Oh. And so my question is in regarding that. How we can develop that really, really spiritual, really metaphysical values, that we can really preach in that way, that we can really, really can give Krishna consciousness to others, that they really can feel how Krishna loves them. It's, you know, you mentioned that that's really, I really agree that we don't have all the time of the world and we really need to act fast and quick, be quick, but how can we develop these qualities? It's not really easy to really read that we can, ourselves can be aware of how Krishna loves us in order to also convince others.
So the question, who didn't, those online who didn't hear it, is how can we, you know, it's easier said than done, how can we develop the kind of purity, the kind of genuine feelings of compassion for souls so that people can really genuinely feel that Krishna loves them? Well, first we shouldn't scare them away. That's a good thing. We shouldn't scare them away first. And once, you know, they feel like they can communicate with us normally, and we don't want anything material from them, even money, then you know, they have a chance to hear. And then I think the most important thing is, like I was saying, we have to be empowered by Krishna. What's that verse? Yasya deve parabhakti yata deve tathaguru. No. What's that verse that says that, you know, a devotee has developed all the qualities of the demigods? Anyway, there's a verse in this Bhagavatam, I forget the exact whole verse, that says, you know, a devotee naturally has all the divine qualities. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the 26 qualities of the devotees. So those don't come like mechanically. They come from purification. You know, why did people love Prabhupada so much? Because he was pure. So, on the one side, we have to, you know, be intelligent about the proper presentation, the proper language, not being sectarian, not being dogmatic, not being fanatical, and at the same time, you know, being loyal to our core beliefs, and so on. We have to have an intelligent strategy, as you Prabhus are doing here. But fundamentally, at the deeper level, at the sort of essential level, people will feel Krishna's love through us when we are loving Krishna and when we're, you know, somewhat pure. And that just comes by Krishna's mercy. And we just have to get Krishna's mercy and get more of Krishna's mercy. So I think that combination is important. And the first thing being less important in a big picture than the second part, which has to do again with developing these qualities, and that's not mechanical. That depends on the grace of God, you know. Jai. All right, so tomorrow we'll speak about a little bit more practical stuff, how to give a lecture, one technique of how to give a good lecture, you know, questions of belief and fact and what to say to people, and the issue of Hinduism, you know, are we Hindu, are we not Hindu, what do we tell people, and maybe other topics if we have time. Thanks for your patience and tolerance. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande Hari Haribo.